It's actually a little continuation from Sunday. But John 12, let's go at verse 27. Okay, John 12, 27. Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify thy name. There came therefore a voice out of heaven, and I both glorified it and will glorify it again. The multitude therefore who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon the world. Now the ruler of this world should be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. The multitude therefore answered him, we have heard out of the law that the Christ is to remain forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Jesus therefore said to them, for a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, that darkness may not overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, in order that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke, and he departed and hid himself from them. Amen. I'm just kind of continuing on from Sunday, and for this week, while I'm able to be with you, I'm going to be kind of just giving some lessons. Really on death, since that is where we're going, right? As we talk about third line Christianity, and Jesus here, he is foretelling his death in John 12, and as he's doing this, he's coming to this place and. And he's starting to feel kind of the pain already of the cross. And if you've been here for a little while, you know that when we talk about the suffering of the Lord on the cross, the physical suffering is only just one small part. Most of what he's referring to is the separation from the Father and the Spirit. And so he's starting to live that out here, and he's saying, he says in verse 20, my soul has become troubled, you know, and this will culminate on the cross when the first statement he says is, my God, why have you forsaken me, right? Quoting Psalm 22. And so we see from this moment in John 12, he's starting to feel the suffering of the cross, and it's going to culminate at Golgotha, but it's starting to come now. And so he's in some ways, he's not necessarily psyching himself up, but he knows what's coming ahead of him, you know. And he says, shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? No, for this very purpose I came to this hour. He knows why he came. You know, he has a specific purpose in mind. And this should really speak to us in our life. You know, one of the ways that you'll be able to handle persecution, you'll be able to handle difficult times. You'll be able to handle, stuff that comes through your life that you have no idea, you know. But if you have a sense of purpose, you will overcome anything in your life. You know, if there's something that God has put within you, if there's a vision or a goal or something, and you're sure of that, you know, no matter what comes your way, you will overcome. You know, and you can draw this in many, many different areas of your life, you know. If you know that God has set you up, you know, in the area of your finances, or there's a vision there, you know, or even in your workplace, you know, and you go through some stumbling blocks and you go through some difficulties, if there's that deep sense of purpose, you will overcome anything. You know, you could go through relationships, you know. I know, you guys are all single here except for Pastor Sam and I, you know, and you go through different, you know, times in your relationships. You know, some parts in your relational life, there's nobody there. Other parts, there's too many people there, you know, and, you know, now you got to choose between a group of people, you know, or you're in a relationship and things get really rocky. But if you know the vision of God, that God says you are to be married, you know, that he's got a good plan for you, that there's a future, that there's a loving relationship that God's going to bring. You can endure anything, right? You can endure the fights. You can endure, you know, the backstabbing sometimes. You can endure, all those things seem to become nothing when you realize that's your goal. Some of you understand this a little bit is because you went through school. You went through all those stupid classes, you know, that you have no recollection of whatsoever. You know, you did the all-nighters, you did the papers, you did all these things because there was a goal out there, was your graduation. And so you persevered. In that same way, when Jesus is talking here, there's a goal in front of him. There's a purpose. In fact, he says, this is why I'm here. You know, and so no matter what troubling things come his way, he will overcome. Right? I mean, that's that heart. You know, and so no matter what degrees of death come into our lives, if there is that sense of purpose, right, that sense of God's will, and if I could even use the word destiny there, you will be overcomers. Nothing will stand in your way. You know, you'll keep taking those steps forward and those steps forward and those steps forward. And then once in a while in your walk with God, you know, when you are encountering different things, once in a while, God will bring the word of encouragement to us. You know, and he cries out, Father, glorify thy name. And it says, and there's a voice out of heaven. It says, I both glorified it and will glorify it again. You know, even Jesus, once in a while in his walk, needed some encouragement. Right? Even Jesus, in this troubled spirit, right, needed to hear something from heaven. You know, and the crazy thing is, no one there knew it was from God. You know what I mean? And in other words, God seems to do those things in our life that we just know that it was him. You know, and we know it in such a way in our own language that we can really benefit from it. You know, I can remember times in my life where, you know, I felt lost and confused and trying to find my way. And then the Lord sends just that word of encouragement. It could be through somebody or through a text or through a story that I hear or a sermon. You know, but I just know specifically that God spoke to me. You know, in this context, right, some said, oh, it's just some thunder. Another guy said, it's an angel. You know, and only Jesus knew it was God speaking himself, Elohim, that was speaking on behalf. You know, and then it continues to go on, you know, and it says, now judgment is upon the world. The ruler of this world should be cast out. And he says in verse 32, if I be lifted up, this is the text I want to use today. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Now, we use this a lot when we talk about evangelism, but this is not an evangelistic passage. This has nothing to do with, you know, in other words, lifting his name up has nothing to do with worship. In this passage, right, has nothing to do with making Jesus famous. There's nothing to do with that. He's talking about the cross. And when he's saying that if I be lifted up, he's talking about when he gets raised from the ground. In other words, when he is suffering on the cross and he literally gets raised up, right, then at that place he will draw all men to himself. You know, how do I know that? Well, the next verse says he was saying this to indicate the kind of death which he was to die. Now, that doesn't mean if you use this in context, if we lift up Jesus' name, he'll draw all men. Yeah, that will work too, right? But if we're going to be true to the text, that's what it means. You know, and it's interesting as we talk about third line Christianity, right? What is it that will draw all men to the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, it's not signs and wonders. How do I know that? If you read down a little bit before, you know, down a little bit, you know, he says very clearly in verse 37, but though he had performed many signs before them, they were not believing in him. So he's not talking about works, okay? He's not talking about deeds that he's done. And we think that one of the ways that we can help people, witness to people, and draw men, you know, people to Jesus is by our good deeds. Yes, that's good, right? We talked about that, right? That's second line Christianity. You know, being a good moral people, that's good stuff. You know, but ultimately, what is it that will draw all men to the Lord Jesus Christ? It'll be sacrifice. It'll be death. Right? It's the sacrifice and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The suffering of Jesus will draw all men to himself. What does that mean to us? How does that speak to us? Well, think about it, you know. You can do good deeds, and please do good deeds. You know, you can, you know, do signs and wonders, and all that stuff is excellent. I mean, you know, we pray for those things to happen. But ultimately, what woos this selfish world, right, is selfless living. You know, what will draw men to Jesus, you know, is not so much our speech, it's not so much our deeds. Well, I should say this, our deeds manifested in death. You know, when a group of people are willing to live not for themselves, but to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, to live for other people. In other words, to die to themselves, right? Men will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because we're nice, not because we're moral people, not because we obey the commandments and all those things, you know, but it's because if people will be selfless and die to themselves, just like Jesus did, he says, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. It'll be the Lord that draws them, right? If we will live the selfless life, you know, this third line Christianity that we've been talking about on Sunday, if we would endeavor to live that kind of life, right, evangelism will happen. You know, I mean, honestly, the world really hasn't seen the church manifested in all of its glory in that way because the church has not been selfless yet. I mean, we have glimpses, you know, we've seen, you know, at times, you know, but I mean, it's amazing. And I'm reading this book right now on Israel, especially, I mean, we're going to Israel soon, so I thought I'd brush up a little bit on my Hebrew and stuff, and, you know, and kind of reading a history of the Jews, and man, it's sad, you know, I often, because I don't know some of the history, I often think why, you know, I mean, you know, why would the Jews be so antagonistic towards us Christian brothers, you know, and I was, as an American, I think, well, the Americans are the only reason that you exist as a country, you know, and these things, and why are you so, have such animosity, and then when you start reading the history, you know, of Christians that have just annihilated Jews throughout history, you know, starting in Spain and going throughout, it just breaks your heart. And you realize that Christians, for most part of their existence from Constantine, you know, have just tried to make people believe. And that never works. You know, and they did it with sword. You know, they had a cross in one hand and a sword in the other hand. You know, and I know we talk about the Crusades and those stuff, but the Crusades are just such a little thing compared to all the other atrocities that Christians and churches have made. You know, we have in today, you know, just, gosh, you know, what, 3-4 weeks ago, you know, we had a famous abortionist murdered in church by a Christian who claimed to be, you know, advocating God. That's what the world knows the church as. You know, gay-hating, you know, women-hating, you know what I mean, male chauvinist. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. You know, Muslim-hating and all these things. That's not what the church is about. Because the church ultimately has not died to ourselves yet. You know, we try to make the world righteous. You know, you can't make the world righteous. You know, I'm all for voting and stuff like that and stuff, but it just doesn't work. You know, you can't make people righteous. I mean, that's the whole point of this faith is people have to choose. You know, and we can't choose for them. I'm totally getting off subject now, right? But going back to this, if I be lifted up from the earth, in other words, if people will see the death and the suffering, see the selflessness, all men will be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close our eyes. Let's meditate on that for a little bit. It's not going to be signs and wonders. It's not necessarily going to be deeds of righteousness. It's going to be selfless living. Care and compassion, heart. That's what's going to win this world. You know, I'm so challenged by that because I'm very selfish. Are you trying to win some people to the Lord and through faith and through all kinds of means? Try dying. Try living selflessly. Imagine yourself being raised up like Christ. It's going to happen. Maybe during this talk, and I didn't really plan to talk on it so much, but maybe for some of us, we're enduring some troubling times. Remember what God told you last. That's your vision. That's your purpose. And be faithful to that. And then watch God do what He does. If you're encountering difficulty these days, do what God told you last. Or if you don't know, grab a hold of the vision of God. And then obey. And then overcome all those things that come your way. Whatever takeaways that you take today, let's spend some time with the Lord and let's go before Him and let's ask Him to continue to speak to us as Pastor Nate leads us in a song of worship. And then I'll come up and lead us in prayer together. Lord, we are
before our King, but what I have, I gladly bring. Jesus be glorified through my surrendered mind. Jesus be glorified in me.
Let's pray together. Huh? Let's spend some time. Let's pray for the house churches this week. This is the last week of house church. And let's pray for just a real glorious time together. The ones that are meeting tonight and Wednesday and Friday. Let's pray for the leaders and that would finish well in the way they're preparing and praying for all the members. Let's pray that people's schedules would open up and they would come and be a real celebration as we close out this very long season this week. If you are here and you go to a house church, pray for your house church leaders specifically today. Pray for grace and protection and pray for the hand of the Lord and the Word of God to flow through them throughout this week. Let's just cover them right now. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just bless you, God, this week. Lord, we just ask, God, for your hand to come over us, Lord. And Lord, we just ask, God, that the favor of God would meet with us in each of our meetings this week, Lord, in house church. Lord, bless the leaders, God, anoint them, fill them with your Holy Spirit. Lord, fill, God, each of the meeting places with your presence, God. Lord, continue to draw us to you, Father God. Lord, we bless you, Lord. Watch over us this week, God. We pray for our friends, God, that are going through troubling times, Lord. And we just ask for grace to be extended to them, Father. We thank you. We love you. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great week this week, or a great day.